Hi, welcome to live coding music with microblocks and microcontrollers. This is Bernat Romagosa. I come from Barcelona, and I work as a Snap and microblocks developer at SAP, together in the same company with Jan Sanyadga, and together in the same project with a lot of people here in the room, like John, who is the creator of microblogs and so many other things, like Turgut, like Kathy, and of course, Jan Sanyadga, who also contribute to microblogs. For the purpose of this talk, I never mentioned this, but for the purpose of this talk, I will mention I am an ex-musician. I used to play in a reggae band for a bunch of years. And recently, I got into making music again with microcontrollers, so I guess that makes me a musician again. But I don't know, you'll have to judge after this. And you can find me here, so that's who I am. And next, I guess I should talk about what microblogs is in case you didn't attend John, Kathy, and Turgut's talk yesterday. So microblogs is a, well, first of all, you can find all about it here, but I'll brief you in. So it's visual blocks in the same way that Scratch and Snap are. And I mentioned these two languages because these are the closest relatives. The blocks are one thing. What's behind the blocks is a different thing. The blocks is how we present the code. But what's most important about these three languages is that they are live, they are parallel. And that's usually not mentioned when we talk about blocks-based programming. We put them in the same bag. But that would be like putting all text-based languages in the same bag, right? There are languages that are interpreted, others that are compiled. So yeah, it's like Scratch and Snap, but for microcontrollers. These are small computer-like devices. It's a live language. It's an autonomous language. That means that the code runs actually inside of the microcontroller, and you can unplug it at any time, and the code will keep on running. And it's a parallel language, meaning you can have multiple threads running at the same time inside of the microcontroller. And it's a portable language, meaning that you can run the exact same code in several different microcontrollers, even of different architectures. We even have versions of the what we call the microblocks virtual machine running on the browser. So it's a very portable piece of code. And since the talk is about live coding music with microcontrollers, I thought I should talk a little bit about what live coding is in the context of making music. Live coding is programming things in real time, right? Well, in the case of music and digital media, because there are people who make visuals live with programming, it's programming digital media live in real time for an audience like you. So you may ask, okay, but how does one make music with a microcontroller? And the answer is, well, it's easy. You just generate signals, right? A microcontroller can generate square waves, can generate sine waves. And your answer obviously will be, yeah, okay. But what about music like it's 2024? Like, what about actual music I want to dance to? And yeah, so the idea we had in that regard is let's use devices that already know how to make music and let's interface with them. Okay? So we're using MIDI for that. And without further ado, I will try to make some music for you today. I wanted to explain what I was doing as I was making the music. I'm not sure this is going to work because I have a pretty sketchy setup where I connected my synthesizer to this thing here that's beaming audio to the back there, and then I don't know if I'll be able to do the two things at the same time. And I don't know if I'll be able to hold my microphone either.
I'm really good at it.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, let me try if it works first. That's a bit too loud, is it? Is it good? Yeah, okay. Okay, so the first thing you need when you make music is obviously a little bit of a drum beat. So what I'm going to do is, forever, I'm going to wait until the next whole note. I apologize a bit for those of you who don't have any notions about music, but this will kind of make sense. I will wait until the next. Oh yeah. Is that good? I won't be able to fit as much music in it. And then I'll play some drum. Let's say I'll play a bass drum. And for how long? Well, for a quarter note. And we'll keep it a little bit. There we go. That's not enough for dancing. I mean, you have to be. Then at the next half note, I'm going to play a snare. Okay, so what do we need next? We need some bass. So we'll pretty much do the same thing. After every whole note, we'll arpeggiate. Let's say we'll arpeggiate a major chord, because I'm feeling happy. And we'll do it at, we'll just use the default configuration. And of course, this is going to sound not like I want it to. No. So what I'll do is I'll select a different instrument for this MIDI channel. MIDI is organized in channels. And I'll select the bass number one, for example. Let's see what this sounds like. This is a bass, but it's a bit too high-pitched. So let's bring it down a bunch of octaves. That's better. But of course, since it got lower-pitched, it also got lower-volumed. So I'll make it loud, as bass should always be. No, but bass is indispensable. Let's get a different bass. These are all the same bass. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. What else do we need? Well, we can already dance a little bit to this, but it'd be interesting to, you know, get some chords going on. So we'll basically use the same thing. And instead of arpeggiating, we're going to play. Let's say we'll use the major chord on channel 2, where we'll obviously select a different instrument. Yeah, it should be good. Let's see how it sounds. Okay. You have to understand this is my set of instruments that I collected from different synthesizers and sound fonts. So what I call a piano is not what you might think of as a piano, but this is my favorite piano. And I want this to play for a quarter note again.